In total, in six cases, four of the more liberal justices were joined by another justice to form a majority. As of yesterday, it was all but Justice Alito, and this morning he lent his vote to uphold a provision of the sex offender registration, the federal sex offender registration law, and reject a non-delegation doctrine challenge, which I think may be fairly unusual for him. I don't know that he's ever previously in his time on the court joined the four liberal justices to form a 5-4 majority, at least hasn't joined an opinion. So what to make of all of that? I mean, one question is, what would Justice Kennedy have done, and would some of those cases have been 6-3s rather than 5-4s so that there wouldn't be so much focus on the one crossover justice? But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this reflects kind of a slight realignment of the court and the shifting approaches, perhaps, of those who are trying to put together 5-4 majorities and perhaps some shared interest among members of the court across ideological spectrum in not having the court always divide in visibly perceived partisan ways. So time will tell, but I think it's an interesting theme of this term, and it was continued in the cases that were decided this morning. Very high level, and these categories are certainly open to dispute, but you could see business cases, criminal law, continue to dominate the court's docket. I think this is roughly comparable to what we've seen in other terms. Other constitutional law, I think the administrative law bucket is likely to continue to be important and may grow in future terms. It seems to bring together some themes that we're seeing and trends in the court's jurisprudence. I mean, one is we have two new members of the court, both of whom came to the Supreme Court with opinions about administrative law, and in some cases willingness to reconsider important doctrines about how the executive branch interacts with the other branches. We do have a little bit of litigation involving the Trump administration, much of which winds up taking the form of Administrative Procedure Act and administrative procedure. So I think that's an area to watch going forward. 16 cases left to go. You could see, though, the pace is roughly comparable with past terms. These are probably a little hard to see on the slide, but you can have the materials in your electronic briefcase. You can knock two of those cases, the to-be-determined cases, off the list. Gundy and American Legion were decided today. Nick, which is a case about the Takings Clause, Rucho and Benisek, which are the voting rights cases, Kaiser, which is a very interesting case about deference to agencies, and the Department of Commerce case, which is the census case, all left to be decided. Maybe briefly take stock of Justice Kavanaugh's first term and compare a little bit to where his his predecessors have been in their first terms. At least to date, we've got six majorities from Justice Kavanaugh, three unanimous, at least in judgment, and then three more closely divided, including two where he wrote the majority in 5-4 decisions. The empirical folks over at SCOTUS blog do an analysis about voting alignment. And so this is the broadest, the numbers on the slide are kind of the broadest possible conception of alignment. It doesn't mean you voted 100% in terms of every aspect of a decision is concurring in part or concurring in the judgment. But Justice Kavanaugh has the highest degree of alignment with the Chief Justice, perhaps not surprisingly, and then followed by Justice Alito and Justice Thomas. The next numbers might surprise you a little bit. Closer alignment with Justice Breyer and Kagan than with Justice Gorsuch, although admittedly, you know, the distinctions are pretty fine given the number of percentage points that you're looking at there. And one dissent in a 5-4 case. Some interesting vote alignments continuing with that theme in Apple v. Pepper, which is a case that probably a lot of the people in this room would care about, involved antitrust claims brought by iPhone users against Apple for alleged overcharges in purchasing apps from the App Store, monopolization claims. Justice Kavanaugh joined the four more liberal justices to uphold the Ninth Circuit and say that those users, iPhone users, were direct purchases from Apple under this doctrine that says you can't bring antitrust claims against a defendant who's one step removed. Fairly narrow question because it was at the pleading stage, so, you know, don't read too much into it, but it's an interesting vote alignment. And a little bit, we saw some of this with Justice Gorsuch in his first term, joining the four more liberal justices, albeit in different areas. And then on the theme of Justice Kavanaugh's relationship with the Chief Justice, a couple of interesting decisions where both the Chief Justice and Justice Kavanaugh joined the four more liberal justices in a couple of criminal cases. Moore v. Texas reversed a finding of the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals in a pro-defendant, pro-criminal defendant way. Same majority of six in Garza v. Idaho, which held that the presumption of prejudice that applies if the lawyer fails to file an appeal for a criminal defendant, so you don't have to show the prejudice like you would have succeeded in the appeal, that applies even if the defendant had signed an appeal waiver and told his lawyer, look, you still got to appeal, and the lawyer said, well, you signed an appeal waiver. So interesting six-justice alignment there. And then in Air and Liquid Systems, which is a maritime tort case, the Chief Justice, Justice Kavanaugh, joined, again, that same six-justice group to recognize a duty to warn that was imposed on certain manufacturers in particular circumstances. So we may see more opinions from Justice Kavanaugh before the term ends, but I think it, at least on this limited data, in some respects he resembles Justices Kagan and Sotomayor in that he's had a couple of 9-0, actually three 9-0 decisions. There's a tradition trying to give the new justice a 9-0 for their first opinion, not always observed. But we've also seen, a little bit like in Justice Gorsuch's first full term, Justice Kavanaugh diving right in and getting a number of sharply divided assignments, the 6-3 and the 2-5-4s.